Our scripture reading is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 11. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message for this morning. Holy Father, we now draw near to you by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that we would offer to you acceptable worship with reverence, with awe, Lord, for you are a consuming fire. We pray, Lord, that you would deal with your people according to the mercy of your salvation. For we know, Lord, that we merit none of it, Lord. In fact, we've merited precisely the opposite. But you in your grace, Lord, have sent your Son Jesus to deliver us, Lord, from our sins and to redeem us and rescue us from the power of the devil. We pray now, Lord, that your Spirit, Lord, will be active in working through the proclamation of your word so that your people, the flock of Christ Jesus, may be comforted and encouraged. And we pray that you would work effectively through your gospel to call out of the darkness the unbelieving and to bring them into your marvelous light. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing on with our series in 1 Peter, picking up where we left off a few weeks ago in the fifth chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 8 to 11. So the first verse of today's text opens with a warning. It opens with a warning to all who are joined to God's house through faith in Christ Jesus. So here's the warning. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Believers need to be reminded to be sober-minded and alert at all times because of the possibility of becoming intoxicated by worldly passions, which distracts them with issues that are ultimately petty, futile, and without eternal significance. Believers who are distracted and led astray by passions of pride and earthly treasures will be susceptible to wrangling with others over these things while becoming careless and nonchalant towards the adversary of their souls, the devil. And it's in those times when they are most vulnerable to the devil's machinations. It is in those times they are caught off guard by his attack and unprepared to withstand it with composure and with peace. Read in verse 8, the first verse of our text. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So once again, the warning. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. In today's message, we'll look to our text to understand three things. Number one, in what sense the devil is our adversary. Number two, how we are to resist him. And number three, finally, what is the outcome of our resistance? And so with that said, let's go ahead and turn to the first point of today's message, the adversity of the devil. In verse 8, you'll notice that the devil is called your adversary. So we need to remember who's being addressed here. Who's being addressed? The elders and those who are junior to the elders' authority. Who is being addressed here? It's the whole flock of God. The whole household of God. It is the flock of God consisting of all who believe in the name of Christ Jesus who is being addressed. So the devil is the adversary of whom? All genuine believers in Christ Jesus. The devil is not the adversary of the unbelieving. In Luke 11:21, Jesus provides a metaphor describing the unbelieving world in relation to the devil, which makes this clear. Luke 11:21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. The devil is the strong man who keeps the unbelieving, all who are dead in trespasses and sins, locked up and safely guarded in his palace. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. The unbelieving live under the strong man's dominion, powerless to resist him. They are so entirely dominated by the devil that they are described in Ephesians 2:2 as following the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? It's the devil. And in that same verse, we are told that following the prince of the power of the air is essentially following the course of this world. So when people follow the course of this world, they are in actuality following the devil. And in that same verse, Ephesians 2:2, the unbelieving are rightly called the sons of disobedience, following the prince of the power of the air, following the course of this world. Who are they? They are the sons of disobedience. In 1 John 3, all of humanity is divided into two categories: the children of God or the children of the devil. There is no third category. There is no middle ground between these two categories. All of humanity falls into either one of these two categories, the children of God or the children of the devil. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, we're told that the unbelieving have been ensnared by the devil, captured by him to do his will. So the consistent message across Scripture is that unless a person is born again by the grace of God and is granted the gift of faith in Christ Jesus, they are entirely dominated by the strength of the devil. They are his followers and indeed are his children. So the devil is not the adversary of the unbelieving world, and that's because the unbelieving world willingly lives under his dominion. It consists of following the course of this world. They live under his dominion in their spiritually blind condition. The devil is not the adversary of the unbelieving world. They are his willing followers. But the devil is the adversary of Christ's flock, because it is only they who have been freed from Satan's dominion and are now ruled by Christ, who is stronger than the strong man, the devil. We read on in Luke 11. Verse 22, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he, that is referring to Christ Jesus, attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Christ is the one stronger than the strong man, the devil. Christ is the one stronger than the devil, who has overcome him in order to plunder his spoil, the souls of his elect. The saving grace of Christ Jesus is described as deliverance from the power of Satan to the power of God in Acts 26:18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The devil is the adversary of only those who no longer follow him, who no longer follow the course of this world, but now follow Christ as Lord, because their eyes have been opened to his glory and because they believe all that is true about him as he is revealed in God's word. The devil is the adversary of the flock of God, consisting of each and every person who believes in the name of Christ Jesus. So now, let's consider, in what sense is the devil the adversary of all who genuinely trust in Christ Jesus? Now we read in verse 8 that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The devil seeks to do more than merely aggravate, hurt, injure, or irritate the believer. No, he seeks to devour them. His goal is to destroy them. The destructive intent of the devil towards the flock of God is vividly captured when Jesus foretold Peter's denial of him shortly before his arrest in Luke 22:31-32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Satan seeks to destroy believers by ruining their faith. It's made clear in Jesus' statement to Simon Peter. We just read there in Luke 22. Back in April, on Good Friday, we analyzed what the devil intended to do to Peter when he demanded to sift him like wheat. If you remember from back then, sifting wheat describes the process of shaking and tossing a batch of wheat in order to separate the grain from the chaff. As the wheat is shaken and tossed, the wind carries away the lighter chaff, leaving behind the grain. That's what Satan desired to do to Peter. Satan desired to shake Peter through the tribulation he would face when Jesus was arrested, intent on seeing him fly away from Christ, like so much chaff carried away by the wind. But as we can see there in Luke 22, Satan's destructive intent would not succeed despite Peter's denial, because Jesus interceded, prayed on behalf of Peter's faith, that his faith would not fail, and God would sustain Peter's faith through Christ's intercessory work so that he would turn from his denial and strengthen his brethren as a faithful apostle and servant of the Lord until the end. Well, the devil seeks to destroy believers today by sifting them like wheat, intent on seeing their faith undermined and ruined so that they would fly away from Christ like chaff carried off by the wind. How does the devil sift believers like wheat for that purpose of ruining their faith? By the same method which he sought to ruin Peter's faith, which is clearly implied in verse 9 of our text, which brings us to our second point, resisting the devil. So we read in verse 9, "Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." So how does Satan sift believers? Suffering. Through various kinds of suffering that they are experiencing. The suffering may come from the outside in the form of persecution, tribulation, or the suffering could come from within as a believer struggles with temptation and sin. And undoubtedly, if we are genuinely believers, we have suffered in both of these forms. Either way, the devil wants to see Christ's flock carried away from Christ, parting ways with his word, turning their back on his lordship and authority. The devil would persuade them that life would be so much easier if they did. Then tribulation from the outside would cease, and warfare against sin from within would be ended. The gate would be wide. The way would be easy. And they can join in with the many, enjoying solidarity, acceptance, friendship with the world. In face of the devil's destructive intent towards believers, we are told, resist him firm in your faith. How do we resist the devil? By remaining firm in our faith. See, because our faith in Christ Jesus aims for a heavenly crown, not an earthly crown. A heavenly home, not an earthly home. Heavenly rest, not earthly rest. Our faith aims for the prize of eternal glory in Christ, not a temporary easy chair on earth. And you see, submitting by faith to the lordship of our Savior Christ Jesus will bring us into direct conflict with the unbelieving world. There's no way around it. It's a misguided venture when believers try to harmonize themselves, try to find common ground with the unbelieving world. It's futile. Submitting to the lordship of Christ Jesus will bring us into direct conflict with the unbelieving world. It's guaranteed. In the words of Jesus, John 15, 18 to 20, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So once again, submitting by faith to the lordship of Christ Jesus will bring us into direct conflict with the unbelieving world. And And the unbelieving world will hate us for it. If we believe in Christ's name, the devil will instigate his earthly agents to persecute us, just as he instigated his earthly agents to persecute our Lord. And this is made clear in John 8:42-44 when Jesus addresses those who are persecuting him. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Jesus warns his church in Smyrna that the devil would instigate tribulation against them in Revelation 2:10. "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life." So, once again, submitting to the lordship of Christ by faith will bring us into direct conflict with the unbelieving world. Submitting by faith to the lordship of Christ Jesus will also bring us into direct warfare with our flesh. If we follow Christ as Lord, we will have to face the devil's temptations, which will at times make our sanctification difficult. And through the trials of many temptations, the devil would like to see us turn again to the course of this world, the wide gate, the easy way. And so we read on in verse 9, "Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Our tribulation, our struggle against sin may seem overwhelming, monumental, if we assume that we are the only ones suffering to the extent that we are. But in reality, we should know that we are not unique. We are not special in the degree of suffering we are experiencing for the Lord's sake, whatever that form of suffering may be, whether from the outside or whether from within. Our text assures us that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. No matter how intensely we may feel the hostility, animosity, and hatred of the world, and no matter how grievous our struggle against sin within our own hearts may be, we have brethren throughout the world who are experiencing the same kinds of suffering that we are. We are one of many. Our brethren who went before us suffered the same kinds of suffering that we are enduring. They resisted the devil's sifting by remaining firm in their faith. And if they were able to remain firm in their faith, so can we. Because the same Lord who interceded for them throughout history, who interceded for the Apostle Peter, is interceding for us, that our faith too may not fail. Which brings us to our third and final point, the victory of faith. As we read on from verse 10 to 11. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so as we can see in our text, it is only those who resist the devil and remain firm in their faith until the end who will attain to the calling of eternal glory. So knowing that this is the case, endure tribulation, whether small or big. Stand against temptation. Subdue the flesh, evil passions, for the Lord's sake. Resist the devil, firm in your faith. We read in our text that the suffering we experience for our faith is only for a little while, and then comes glory. To the church in Ephesus, Jesus promised in Revelation 2:7, to the one who conquers, that's the life of faith. It's not just kicking back. It's not what it is. Faith is conquering. It's resisting. It's standing firm in the faith, in the face of immense tribulation, both from outside and within. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To the church in Smyrna, Jesus promised in Revelation 2:11, the one who conquers, there we see it again, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2:17, to the church in Pergamum, Jesus promised, to the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Are we conquering? To the church in Thyatira, Jesus promised in Revelation 2:26, to the one who conquers, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And to the church in Sardis, Revelation 3:5, Jesus promised, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If we are truly born again by the power of our God, we will resist the devil, remaining firm in our faith until the end. We will most assuredly conquer. And that is because, as we pointed out just a few minutes ago, as Jesus assured Peter, it is he who intercedes for our faith, and it is ultimately he who keeps it from failing. And so we'll close with 1 John 5:4-5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's pray. Holy Father, we now pray insofar as what has been proclaimed is taught by your Holy Spirit. Insofar as that is true, insofar as what has been proclaimed is in keeping with your word, we pray that what has been proclaimed would be fruitful within the hearts of your people. We pray, Lord, just as you command us, that we will be sober-minded, we will be watchful, that we will not allow our minds to be intoxicated by the passions of our former ignorance, which bogs us down in many, many futile, petty concerns that are without any eternal significance. We pray we will be sober-minded and watchful for the purpose of being on guard against our adversary, the devil, who seeks to do far more than just injure us or annoy us or irritate us. He seeks to devour the sheep of God's flock. But we can take heart because in your word, you have taught us that we have all power if we are in Christ, if we have been delivered from the dominion of the devil and from our sin, to resist him firm in our faith. Though the devil would sift us through the various kinds of sufferings that we may experience, whether from the outside in the form of persecution, tribulation, and hostility from the unbelieving world, or whether from within as we face and resist temptation of sin and of the flesh, we can take heart because we have all power to resist the devil firm in our faith, and he cannot extinguish the faith of all who truly believe in him, in Christ Jesus, because it is Christ Jesus, as we've learned, who upholds our faith and keeps it from failing. And so we thank you, and we pray now that your word will be fruitful unto your people, those who trust in you, the household of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.